Welcome to Faith and Victory Church. Faith and Victory Church is an active, non-denominational Christian church in Auburn, Washington. We welcome all who love to worship God and those who wish to deepen their relationship with Him. Pastors Matt and Crystal Krachunas are inviting you to come worship with them and the congregation of Faith and Victory Church this Sunday. To find out more about Faith and Victory Church, check out our website, www.faithandvictory.com. You will find that there is something for everyone at Faith and Victory Church. Now join us for the Spirit-filled message.
I know that we said we're not doing any announcements, and we're not. I'm just merely reminding you of a few things that you're forgetting. Candy drive. You heard me talk about it last week. Bring some bags of candy, okay? While you're there buying bags of candy for yourself, just buy a couple bags of candy for kids that can use it to learn about Jesus. Remember, we're not having anything for Halloween this year at the church, so just bring some candy. Now, here's another quick announcement. If you're a woman and you're here, Jesus spoke to me and said, you need to go to the women's retreat. And if you're not going, you're shaming God. And so, dude, I'm being serious here. Like, our church is, if you notice, in the life of our church, we've got two huge events that happen every single year. One of them is the men's retreat and the women's retreat. And when those things happen, people's lives change. And so you need to go to that. And if you've been saying, I am totally going, well, we need a little indication of your commitment. Because a lot of people say they're going, and then, you know, like, even, and maybe you're not prepared today to be able to pay for the full amount. Man, give one of the cards, and I think they're behind in the seat here for the women's retreat. You got a thing here for the women's retreat. Give this and a $20 bill or $20 post-dated check to Pastor Shelley or Pastor Crystal, or and just, you know, let them know for sure that you're coming. We're trying to shore that thing up, okay? So please make sure. Thank you so much. No, it's fine. It's perfect. Thank you so much for signing up for that. It'll be a good time. And then lastly, night of prayer. You've seen the sign on the thing. The whole city of Auburn's come together for prayer. I sent out a Facebook message inviting you. Man, come out. Let's worship God together as a city. There's going to be dozens of churches represented there. And yours truly is going to be emceeing the night. So you want to come out and, I don't know. So you can come out and be a part of that. It'll be good things. All right, let's pray. Father God, we love you this morning. We praise you this morning. We glorify you this morning in the powerful name of Jesus. God, I know that even myself, sometimes I go to a church service and somebody starts preaching and I don't listen. I don't know. My mind just sways, God. So this morning, would you just help us to focus on this message this morning? God, would you make it clear to us what you want to say to us? Holy Spirit, we relinquish all of our own rights, all of our own agendas, and we're asking you this morning to speak to us clearly and plainly in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Have you ever been to a sporting event that you didn't care to be at? Now, there's only really one sport that I like, and it's football, wrestling. I like wrestling too, but, you know, like little MMA sometimes. But there's a lot of sports that I really don't care about. To be honest with you, one of the sports, and no offense to anybody present, I don't really care about American baseball. You know what I love about American baseball? Garlic fries at Safeco Field. Like, it's the most important thing of the whole experience. I don't even watch baseball at home. I might if somebody was giving me garlic fries. And what's interesting is that when you go to a sporting event such as myself at a Mariners game, and you're not interested in what's going on the field, it's really easy to not pay attention, to not get involved, right? Everybody stands up and screams and shouts, and I look at the person next to me while I'm eating my garlic fries and say, what happened? And they say, well, they did the this, this, this. I'm like, okay, you want to get some more fries? So that's just kind of how I operate. If you're not interested in what's going on the field, if you don't have an emotional interest, it's just not that passionate to be there. You're not emotionally invested. Somebody knows where I'm going. If you're not emotionally invested in what's going on the field, it just kind of lacks any sort of meaning or passion as you're going through that. Well, this morning we're continuing our study of the book of John, and we're going to be in John chapter 4. starting with verse 19, and we're continuing this story of Jesus talking to this Samaritan woman, and they're going to talk about some important things that I think this morning the Holy Spirit can speak to us about how we run our church, how we run our lives, how we connect and focus on our worship of God. So it says in John chapter 4, verse 19, it says, "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is Jerusalem." Jesus declared, "Believe me, woman, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and now has come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship him in spirit and in truth." The woman said, "I know that Messiah is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us." And Jesus declared, "I who speak to you am he." We must worship in spirit and in truth. Individually, as followers of Jesus Christ, collectively, as a body of believers, we must worship in spirit and in truth. You know, Emily lucked out this morning because she did a bang up job. Like this morning was some good worship, man. It was fantastic. So she doesn't have to take whatever I'm going to talk about this morning as a slight on her, because the standard was already set this morning of what worship should be like. But I think it's important that we as individuals understand what it means to worship in spirit and in truth. We can't just glaze past this and say, yeah, spirit and truth. It's an important truth to us as individuals and as a church to understand what this means. In these scriptures, the woman is convinced that what Jesus says to her shows the truth that he is from God. If you remember, last week we talked about her marital status, and they're continuing that conversation, but Jesus came in and literally read this lady's life story when he had just met her. But she challenges Jesus when she talks to him and says, listen, excuse me. She says, "You guys worship in Jerusalem, but we worship here on this mountain. I don't understand. If you're a prophet, if you come from God, help me understand this. Help me understand what's going on." And it's really like most religious-minded people. They get this sense of like, well, I don't understand. How can they worship God if they're not inside the four walls of my church? It's the only place where the Spirit of God rests. It's the only place where Jesus moves. And I don't believe that we believe that as a church. I believe that this morning we're just part of the rest of humanity all over the globe that's worshiping God, and I'm pleased to be a part of it. But there are some people that get this religious mindset that says, you know, God only moves within my church or within my place of worship. And Jesus sets her straight. He says, listen, woman, I kind of like that part, I can't lie. Listen, there's a comma there. It's like, listen, woman, soon you're not going to be worshiping in Jerusalem and you're not going to be worshiping on this mountain. Right here, right now, you're sort of worshiping, but you don't even know why you're worshiping. We know why we're worshiping. You think you know what you're doing, but you're not doing it. And he says, you know what? In the future, the true worshipers of God are going to worship God in the correct way, with the correct spirit. And he says, you know what? That's really what God is looking for anyway. God is spirit. And when he's looking for people to worship him, he's looking for people that are going to worship him spiritually. Not just sing a song, not just be a part of the worship experience. He is a spiritual God who is a spirit, and he is looking for a group of worshipers that are going to worship him spiritually. And then she tries to push him off. She's like, yeah, that's good. When the Messiah comes, he's going to settle all this. And he looks, she goes, you know what? It's me. I'm setting you straight right now. So what does this mean? Apparently, the way that the Samaritans were worshiping God was wrong. The way that they were worshiping God was wrong. And some people might take offense to that and say, well, I don't understand. I've always been told that there's no wrong way to worship God. And I want to submit to you this morning, there is a wrong way to worship God. You can worship God incorrectly. You can get it wrong. You can do it wrong. You can be a part of it wrong. People like to say things like, well, it's just making a joyful noise. Right? Have you ever heard people say that? Usually it's after a really lackluster worship team experience. You know, somebody else goes, well, just make a joyful noise. Amen. Have you guys never been to those churches before? I don't mind. For myself, when I used to lead worship by myself behind the piano, I said that a lot. Because I always had this sense of like, man, I really duffed that one. And people will say that, but it comes from Psalm 100. In Psalm 100, it says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. But here's what's interesting about that word noise. It isn't probably what you think. The definition of what we think is like some kids banging pots and pans together, just making noise for Jesus, right? And we're, yay, make a joyful noise. And like, it's not what it is at all. This word noise literally means to shout unto God. And when that shouting unto God comes, it's not this sense of like, hey, Jesus, like, Jesus! Like, woo! I love you! It's not a noise. It's a loud, boisterous expression of a love for God.
Amen.
There's a wrong way to worship Him. You sounding horrible doesn't mean, hey, make a joyful noise. This is what we're doing here. The truth is that getting some kid to sing isn't getting them to worship. Singing is not worship. The definition literally of noise is to split the ears with sound. Split the ears with sound. And the word noise means to shout before God. And you can't just take an out just because the worship team didn't have it together that Sunday and say, well, we made a joyful noise. There is a wrong way to worship God. And it has nothing to do with where you are when you worship God. It has everything to do with where you and your mind and your spirit is when you worship God. Hear me, church. You cannot just sing worship songs and expect that God is pleased with it.
Come on.
I'm being... Just let me keep it real. And I know, man, some of you are just already, your spirit's like, man, who do you think he is? Man, I'm here this morning, ain't I? I stood up. I sang those songs. So I didn't even do it right? Maybe. Listen, I gotta speak the truth in love, amen? You know if you were just singing songs. It's not just who you are worshiping, it's how you are worshiping. Turn with me to the book of Hebrews. Let me show you this. Those of you that are looking at Hebrews, just keep turning to the right. It's in there. I'm going to speak a few. Because here's what we're getting at, okay? The way in which the modern-day Christian church worships God is utterly and completely different from the way that the people worshiped God thousands of years ago. And in the book of Hebrews, they kind of describe this in chapter 9, verse 1. It says, now the first covenant had regulations for worship and also an earthly sanctuary. A tabernacle was set up in the first room were the lampstand, the table, and the consecrated bread. This was called the holy place. Behind the second curtain was a room called the most holy place, which had the golden altar of incense and the gold-covered Ark of the Covenant. This ark contained the gold jar of manna, Aaron's staff had budded, and the stone tablets of the covenant. Above the ark were the cherubim of the glory, overshadowing the atonement cover. But we cannot discuss these things in detail now. When everything had been arranged like this, the priests entered the room regularly into the outer room to carry out their ministry. But only the high priest entered the inner room, and that only once a year, and never without blood, for he offered for himself and for the sins of the people had committed in ignorance. The Holy Spirit was showing by this that the way into the most holy place had not yet been disclosed as long as the first tabernacle was still standing. What does that mean? That means that God had to show us this big, huge religious way with rooms and curtains and priests and blood to show us the way to worship in this day and age. It says in verse 9, this is an illustration for the present time. indicating that the gifts and sacrifices being offered were not able to clear the conscience of the worshiper. They're only a matter of food and drink and various ceremonial washings, external regulations applying until the time of the new order. We're in a new phase of worship in our worship of God. It's interesting, this book of Hebrews talks about the way in which people would go and worship God in the tabernacle serve the purpose of easing their conscience of sin. Today, in this day and age, we still worship God to ease our conscience of sin. I don't know about you, but it's funny, when you've been sinning, you worship a whole lot better. Come on, somebody. Anybody know what I'm talking about? If you were in it Saturday night, somebody's like, "Oh, Jesus, I love you. I need your presence to forgive me." It's true.
Yeah, come on.
Sometimes people get in a cycle of sin just because they love the passionate worship. After, it's like a bad boyfriend-girlfriend relationship. You know what I mean? Just mean to them because you love to make up, you know? Because when you make up, it's a lot more exciting than just, you know what I'm talking about? Don't do that to God. Don't go running out there and sinning just so you guys can make up and it feels more exciting. The old covenant and the old places of worship are now obsolete. There used to be a way in which we worship God in the temple in the right way, but now we worship Him in a different manner. We don't do that anymore. Like, we have a religious expression in what we do in the modern day church, right? We get in a church, we come together, we sit, you know, we sing songs, there's things that we do, there's a certain ceremony to how we do it, but the ceremony is more of a tradition of how we worship. It's less of getting it right in the way in which we worship God. That's why sometimes when people say, well, a worship service should look like this, it doesn't matter how, this is just what we do because we like to do it this way, but there's not a right or a wrong way as far as the formula that we do to worship God. It has everything to do with what's going on inside of here. Because you can set the thing up and you can do it the right way and it can still be wrong. It can be utterly and completely wrong. Jesus makes a case to this lady and says, listen, I understand that you are doing it a certain way right now, but all of that is going to change. Here's the deal. He says, God is spirit and He has to be. God has to be spirit. If God was not spirit, He could not be all-knowing. He could not be everywhere at one place. He couldn't be omnipresent. He couldn't be all those things unless He was a spirit. He also couldn't be perfect if He wasn't a spirit, because He would be in a broken, busted body just like the rest of us. God is spirit. So what does that mean to worship in spirit? Well, I was always taught it meant that you have to flail back and forth and roll on the ground, or else it wasn't worshiping in the spirit. But you know what? That can be just as horribly religious as the rest of anything else. Went to this church one time, and there was this lady in the front. They called her Spinderella. Because as soon as worship started, and I don't care what Sunday, she would just like this. For like 30 minutes, man. Wow, that just goes. Spinderella would go. There was another guy. They called him Brother Flesh because it wasn't Brother Flesh. It was a different guy. But he would stand up in the front and he'd be like, "Rah!" And then he'd take off around the sanctuary. He'd be like, "Wow, look at that dude go." And I was taught, you know, if it ain't crazy like that, you ain't worshiping in spirit. And I'm like, you know what? You can, man, do somersaults all you want, but if your spirit ain't right in doing it, you're wrong. You're shaming God. You're operating in the flesh. You're just having a religious experience. Oftentimes, and this is for me, when I'm worshiping, my mind and my spirit are not connected with who and what God is. I'm only moving my mouth and singing a song, and I fully admit that because, you know, I don't know about y'all, man. I'm down here all the time. You know, I'm here like every Wednesday and Sunday, and it's a lot of worshiping. Sometimes it's real easy to just check out, man. My mind is not focused on worshiping God. I'm focused on what I need to do, what I get accomplished. How come these chairs aren't straight? You know, will that guy stop doing that in the service? You know, it's really easy to do that. And what God desires of us is that He desires spiritual worship. Worship that comes from the spirit of man, not the body of man. Does that make sense? Have you guys ever heard that song, Proud to Be an American? Yeah, and I'm proud to be an American where at least I know I'm free. Right? I mean, people love that song. You hear it a lot around like the 4th of July and stuff like that. And you know, it's funny, if you hear that song in the wrong context, it's just a song. Right? You're like, I'm proud to be, that was a good song, man. Right, we're American. We kind of like that stuff. I'll tell you when that song has power. That song has power when you've been deployed for 6 months on the other side of the earth and you get off a plane ride after 24 hours and you're carrying your gun and you're dirty and smelly and you walk into a gym and you see your wife standing up there on the bleachers and they play that song, yeah, I'm proud to be an American. Oh, I just love America. Because you have to be out of America to realize how much you love America. So funny, people are like, I hate America. I'm like, dude, go on the other side of the earth for 6 months, man. You'll kiss the ground when you come back. All of our problems, man, I love America. And I don't care who, whatever president you want, man, I'm still going to love this place. It truly is a great place to live. But it's the same thing in our church services. We come in and we sing songs like, I know he rescued my soul. His blood has covered my sin. And we can just sing that song and not allow it to have any meaning. You know what's funny is a lot of times people will see people in a worship service actually worshiping and people will be upset with it. Why is that person getting out of hand? They should settle down and worship. Why are they having such an emotional experience with Jesus? We're to worship him quietly. It's true. People get so upset because somebody's actually overcome with their emotion of worshiping God. See, the problem is most people don't think about that stuff. You know. I remember I was in a worship service one time and literally a lady took off and started running. And I realized that she had a breakthrough. Because she wasn't like, we were attending this church down in Tacoma, and we had been going there for a few months, and this lady was always just like, and then one Sunday it was like, it broke through. She was like, and she started running back and forth across the sanctuary in the front, which by and large I don't really enjoy. But what I did realize is this lady had been set free. And people that have been set free, man, you just, they get set free. People get mad with demonstrative worship, but it's often because they don't allow themselves to be affected and to truly worship God.
Yeah. Amen. Come on.
They don't let it get past their mouth.
Yeah.
For it is we who are the circumcision, we who worship by the Spirit of God, who glory in Christ Jesus, and who put no confidence in the flesh.
Amen.
It's what it says in Philippians 3:3. You cannot worship in the flesh. You can sound good and be worshiping in the flesh. I met a guy one time. We were on a ferry boat in Washington here, and I met a guy who was a full-time professional guitar player for a nationally renowned evangelist. If I said his name, every one of you would know who it is, but I'm not going to shame him by speaking it. I met him on that boat, and I was like, oh, and we just, you know, if you hang around, I just talk to everybody. That's what I do. So he told me he plays guitar professionally. I was like, oh, what do you do? He's like, oh, I just play for this guy. And he said the things down. I was like, oh, really? You're a part of that ministry? He's like, no, not really. I was like, what? He's like, well, he just has a band that just plays songs, and, you know, he pays all of us to play. So, you know, because I can just, dude, he says, I can just play anything anytime. I don't even have to know the notes. I can just pick it up and just go and just be fine with it. And I was like, so you don't like go to church? And he's like, nah, not really. He just hires us, you know. It sounds real good. I was like, man, that's so sad. But we at home, you know, watching this guy on television think, oh, man, it's so spiritual. It's so awesome. And all I think is, man, how many of those people up there are hired hands that have no interest in actually worshiping God, that have no interest in actually ushering into the presence of God? Here's the hired hand, man, just playing the song. And, you know, it's really easy to look spiritual. Just look like you got a little gas. Just, you know, just. what people do. It's just, you even, if you want, just touch your stomach. Like just. You have to focus. Sometimes I love to make y'all laugh. You have to focus your mind and your spirit on the object of what the worship is. God the Father and Jesus, for what He did for us and through us, and what He did for us on the cross, and the rest of the blessings in our lives. We have to worship in truth. If it's truly going to be God-centered worship, it has to be centered on God and has to get us to focus on worshiping Him. And that is true worship. When it talks about worshiping in spirit, it's about getting your spirit connected with God. When it talks about worshiping in truth, true worship is worship that is singly focused on the worship of the Lord, not on merely singing songs about Jesus. It's about singing songs to Jesus, not singing songs about Jesus. I mean, when our church first started, there was this wonderful man, and our church started in 2003, and you guys remember that song, I Can Only Imagine? Beautiful song, right? It's great. And the guy came up to me, and he was like, hey, can we sing that song on Sunday? I said, what song? He said, I Can Only Imagine, man. He's like, I just drive my car, and tears come down my face. I just get so excited about singing that song. I said, no, we're not singing that song. What? I said, that song, it's just a song about Jesus, man. It ain't even a worship song. Oh, but I feel so good when I sing it. Then sing it. But we're going to worship God at church. We're not going to just sing songs that make us feel good. I can only imagine what it'll be like. Dude, go home and imagine all you want, man. We are here to worship God. Some of y'all are like, I can't believe he said that about I Can Only Imagine. I said it because I just don't care. I want songs that worship God, that get me focused on thanking Him. They get me focused on glorifying Him, not just songs that make me feel so good about myself. I'm so good. I'm so awesome. That's what it takes to have worship and truth, to be directing it to the rightful place. It's not about you. It's about Him. People say, oh, the worship service wasn't that good. Why? I didn't really feel much. Okay. That's great. I wonder if God felt anything, because that's really what we're going for here. It's not really how you feel. It's actually more about how God feels, because if He's pleased with our worship, then He's going to be excited about it. It's not whether or not you done felt the tinglies. I don't feel the Spirit in here. I'm leaving. You have to be truthful with where you are at. See, part of the problem of the Samaritans and the Jews, for that matter, is that they were just doing the ordinances of worship. That's what it talks about in Hebrews 9, right? They were just going through what they were supposed to do. You go to the temple, you thing, and the bread, and the lampstand, and the guy, and the bells, and he goes in. They weren't actually worshiping God. They were just going through the motions, if you will. One of the things that I possess that I really like is my laptop computer. If you come to my house, you'll always see it sitting in my living room. I'm probably on it far too much than I need to be, because there's two things I love to do. One of the things I love to do is I love me some Facebook, man. Dude, Facebook is me is more exciting than any reality show you could ever watch, man. People are like, I don't even watch TV anymore. I just sit there and click on my newsfeed and watch people just self-destruct. I mean, it's really interesting. I also love to read the news. So, you know, I go through and I read all my news websites and get really angry and, you know, just kind of go through the thing. I go and, you know, look at electronics and photography equipment and surfer stuff on Craigslist. That's just what I do. And so God bless my daughter, man. She'll come in and we got these couches. She'll come in and want to sit on my lap. And she'll stand there and look at me, and I'm like, what? I'm busy Facebooking. What do you want? And she's like, Daddy, I want to sit on your lap. I'm like, okay, that's fine. So then I'll take it and set it to the side, put it on my lap, and I'll be like, oh. And she looks at me, she's like, and she sits up, and she goes, bonk, and she closes it. Daddy, I want just you. Not none of that. Just you. I want all to myself. You know, so I just sit there and I hold her. I thought, you know, that's just so much how it is with God, right? Not full attention. Not full focus. Yeah, God, I love you. I'm here. I showed up. Worship, it's great. I'm going to be out of here soon. And I just focus halfway on what's going on here, not full on what we're doing here. It's what God wants, not just a, yeah, I'm here singing the songs heart, but a heart that is focused on worshiping Him, that is directed towards Him. Amen? It's what the Father seeks. It's sad that God has to seek for worship. Apparently, He's looking for someone who can do the job. That's what Jesus said. He said the Father is seeking after these types of worshipers because currently what He's getting is not enough. Sure, Jesus came to set you free. That's what He did. But He was hoping that freedom would realize itself as a returning to Him to worship Him for the freedom that He's given us. Does that make sense? Coerced love is not love. That's one of the biggest reasons why I'm not a Calvinist, is because I don't believe that God forces me to worship Him. I believe that God wants me to worship Him, but I need to make a choice to worship Him, because a choice to worship someone and to love someone is actually loving them. Amen. If you're a Calvinist here this morning, God still loves you. I still love you. You're fine. I'm just saying for me. Okay. What does it mean to you? The first thing it means is this, is that you should desire to worship God correctly. Like, worship is something that is vitally important to the lifeblood of the local church and the spiritual life of the believer. God desires and welcomes correct worship towards Him. It's what He desires. In Matthew chapter 15, verse 9, it says, "These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are but rules taught by men." And it's very easy to just sing songs, but it's not what God desires of us. It's easy to sit here in church and, bless God, just watch the worship team sing because they do a great job, and even walk out and say they did a good job. But it begins with our mindset being, today I am going to worship God. Amen. And Noah, I'm not saying anything bad about our worship team, because I think you guys do a great job, but it starts with y'all. It starts with y'all having a mindset to say, you know what, I'm not just going to merely play my instrument. I'm here to worship God myself, and I've been afforded the opportunity to worship Him with this stringed instrument, with this drum, with this keyboard, with my voice. And when you have that mindset, when it comes to worship, it changes it into a spiritual act. Amen? We gather in His name, and why would you want to do this wrong? And here's the deal, okay? I can appreciate and understand that there are people that attend our church that don't fully understand what this thing is about, okay? We're all in different places. We're all at different points in our spiritual walk. But for me, my job as a pastor is to help you grow into a deeper relationship with Jesus. And I got to tell you, learning to worship Him correctly will change your life. I've never met a Christian person that doesn't love to worship God that isn't living a redeemed life.
That's right.
Never. See, because here's what's hard about worship is that it's an act of the will.
Right.
You have to do it. And what it does is it breaks this selfishness inside of you. It is so counterintuitive to our selfish nature to worship something, because we're so inclined to worship ourselves. And so to take that and shift it around and say, I'm not going to worship self, I'm going to worship God. And I'm not even asking Him for anything, I'm just worshiping Him for who He is. And we should worship Him in spirit. Jesus says to the Samaritan woman, there will be a time when they will worship Him in spirit and in truth. And what does that mean? How do we worship Him in spirit? I believe I'm a three-part man. I'm a body, okay? You can see my body. I have a mind, and then I have a spirit. And that spirit man is the one that lives forever, the one that's going to do laps in the lake of fire or go into heavenly glory. That's what happens. The spirit man lives forever. And this spirit man doesn't struggle to connect with God, because the spirit man is spiritual and it wants to connect with God, but my mind and my body are not spiritual. They are prone to sin. That's what Paul said in Romans chapter 7, verse 14. He says, I'm unspiritual, sold as a slave to sin. And what he's saying is that my flesh, your flesh, it desires sin. It just does. We're prone to it. I don't want to eat vegetables. I want to eat greasy foods, right? I mean, that's what our flesh wants to do. So what do we have to do? We have to consciously force our bodies and our minds to worship God so that every part of us will worship Him. We have to force ourselves to do this. Hebrews 10:22 says, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. That's why I'm such a proponent of the hand raising. So you say, some of you are like, I will never raise my hands. And I'm like, well, you will never experience all that God has for you.
Come on.
That's just what I believe.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you why I believe it. You guys got to give me a couple more minutes. Remember, there's no more announcements. We get out of here on time. It'll be fine. I don't want to rush through this thing, man. This is important stuff. Hawks ain't playing today. You're fine. Come on. Give Pastor Matt a couple more minutes here. I'm getting there. So, you know, when I first started, I got saved when I was like 15 years old, and I ended up at this church with all the. I was like, man, those people are a bunch of freak jobs, man. I'm not going to do that. I was in proof that I was going to be the guy that was going to worship God with my hands in my pockets. I'm not going to become... You know what's so funny? I had this sense that, like, somehow God would raise their hands. Like, they'd just be like, whoa. Like, that's what I thought. I was like, there's no way those people are actually raising them themselves. I thought in some way it was like this spiritual thing where you'd just be worshiping and their hands were like, oh my gosh, what's happening? I literally thought that. So I had hands in my pockets. I'm like, I'm not worshiping. And then, like, I was there for quite a few months, and then one day I was like, just kind of on the side, you know, I was just going to have one hand out. A moment later, another little hand came out like this. Because you're still kind of down here. It's like, there's a lot going on. Yeah, the T-Rex. And then one day I was like, you know what? Just forget it. And I cannot explain to you, but something broke free inside of me where all of a sudden I was no longer just standing there singing songs about Jesus. I was actually worshiping Him.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, in the Old Testament, the word todah, it's the word from which we get praise. It says properly an extension of the hand. That is usually an adoration, specifically a choir of worshipers, a sacrifice of praise. Psalm 150, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty heavens. Praise Him for His acts of power. Praise Him for His surpassing greatness. Praise Him with the sounding of the trumpet. Praise Him with the harp. Praise Him with the lyre. You know, Matthew Henry said this. He said, the spirituality of the divine nature is a very good reason for the spirituality of divine worship. We have a divine nature. We need to have divine worship. If we do not worship God, who is a spirit, in the spirit, we neither give Him the glory due His name, and so do not perform the act of worship. If we don't do it spiritual, we're not doing the act of worship, and we cannot hope to obtain His favor and acceptance, so we miss the end of worship. You should worship Him in truth. It says in Psalm 51:6, surely you desire truth in the inner parts. And so what do we do? And just let me help you out here. Let me give you a quick worship class, okay? When you are sitting here and the worship songs begin to play and you say, okay, Pastor, so I'm not supposed to think about my what I'm having for lunch. I'm not supposed to think about what I'm doing after church. I'm not supposed to think about what's going to happen tomorrow at work. This is what you focus your mind on. Saving us from our sin. And you thank Him for that. God, thank you that I'm not going to hell. I love you for that. Thank you for securing me a place in heaven. God, I want to worship you for that. God, I thank you that you have me alive.
Amen.
I'm so glad I'm on the right side of the dirt this morning, God.
Amen.
God, I praise you for doing the good things in my life, God. I thank you that you've given me family, that you've given me friends, that you've given me a job, that you've given me the opportunity to enjoy life. God, I thank you for being with me through my circumstances. God, I thank you that you've empowered me to live a holy life. You must focus your mind on these things as you worship Him. You don't think about your laundry list of things to do. That's why I'm always trying to minimize distractions in worship. People say, he's such a relentless taskmaster. The reason why I'm that way is because I don't want people having to be distracted. I want you to just be able to focus on this time, this place, this moment, so that you can just focus in on worshiping God. That's why the sound of this place and the feeling and the movement is so important. There's less distractions, more worship. This is a spiritual thing. And here's my last point. You should honor the Father by giving Him what He seeks. Giving Him what He seeks. You know what's so funny in relationships? And this happens in marital relationships, friendships, relationships. People know exactly what the other person wants, and they don't give it to them as a manipulation. They do it all the time. I know exactly what they want. I ain't doing it. People do it. They just, for some reason, think there's some, you know, I'm in control here. But Jesus says, the Father is seeking after this. People say, I don't understand. And there's another part. Let me preach for a second here. People say, well, I'm a Christian, but I don't need to go to church. You know what? How do you worship God? Because I guarantee you those stay-at-home church people are not having a worship service in their house. I guarantee it. When we come together, do you know how excited, if I was God on Saturday night, I'd be like, woo, tomorrow's the day. I can get all here, all my kids are going to be worshiping me. It's what He desires. He created us to worship Him. He said, you know what? I need to create a being that will choose to worship me and love me, and I'm going to do whatever I need to do to bestow so many blessings on them in the hopes that they would just please worship me, because I want their love. I want their adoration. Psalm 22:22, I will declare your name to my brothers. In the congregation, I will praise you. Psalm 68:26, praise God in the great congregation. Praise the Lord in the assembly of Israel. The truth is that such worshipers are very rare.
Yeah. Come on.
It's a rare thing.
Yeah.
And such worship is necessary, and it's what God wants.
Yeah.
And again, I just want to clarify, it's not about flamboyant nonsense. God doesn't desire flamboyant nonsense. He desires a heart that's turned towards Him for His benefit, not for yours. He's looking for true worshipers, people who will be spiritual and truthful in their worship of Him, and God is looking for those people that will worship Him. Matthew Henry said, when God comes to inquire for worshipers, the question will not be, who worshipped at Jerusalem, but who worshipped in spirit. He's not going to ask who worshipped in Jerusalem, who worshipped in spirit. Let's have the worship team come up. We're going to end today with a worship song.
Amen.
We're just going to worship Him together. I like Revelation song. Let's sing that one. Holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come.
Yeah.